20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, friends. Welcome into the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Appreciate you being here. If this is your first time here, thanks so much for checking us out. We talk Green Bay Packers football 365 days a year here on YouTube. If you're on the YouTube channel, on the audio podcast, we have a full team of people on our audio podcast. You're usually getting two-a-days over on Pack-A-Day on the audio channels as well. So make sure you're checking all of that out. We have no time to waste today because Tuesday's practice was chock full of just a ton of details, big plays, big moments, standout players, etc. So we're going to get to all of that today. Before we do get there, just quick shout out to W. Brown for becoming an all-new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member. Appreciate that, W. Brown. Also today, two things. Make sure to subscribe on YouTube. That would be absolutely incredible. If you're on YouTube, just hit that subscribe button. It's so freaking easy. Also, today's audio podcast, Dusty, Steve, Sarah, joined by Matt Schneidman of The Athletic. You're going to want to check out that one as well. So if you're usually just coming to the YouTube channel and not checking out the audio channel, today would be a great day to check that out because it's a great interview with Matt Schneidman, again, with Dusty, Steve, and Sarah. As far as practice goes, an incredibly intense practice for the second consecutive day. Pads on, not only pads on, but live tackling in portions of practice with the twos, not with the ones or anything like that, you know, twos, threes, et cetera. I did have a couple live tackling periods, but just another physical practice that ramped up the intensity. I can't really remember, and I'm not going to say that this is 100% true. I haven't charted this or anything. I don't remember two, you know, physical padded practices, including some live tackling this early on in training camp. In fact, my instinct would have been going into this practice, even though that there's an off day on Wednesday, you know, my instinct going in was that they probably wouldn't have even been in pads in back-to-back days. I thought maybe they'd, you know, be in maybe just uppers only or just shells or whatever. I did not necessarily expect that, much less live tackling as well. So you can tell that this team wants to be more physical. You can tell that this team is setting the tone, that Matt LaFleur, Brian Gutekunst, the organization as a whole, they're ready to add a level of physicality and toughness into the DNA of this team. And Brian Gutekunst was asked, you know, if he felt like his team needed it. He said no. He said that he felt very comfortable with where the toughness and physicality was at in these previous couple of years. He did say maybe in previous years that would be something that they felt they needed to address or add, but he didn't say that that was the case in this, you know, past offseason or anything like that. But it does feel intentional from Green Bay that they are, you know, bringing a little bit more of that energy, intensity, and physicality to these practices. And it is showing up in a pretty significant way, at least through these past two padded practices. However, Matt LaFleur was not happy with his team at the end of practice. Now, mid-practice, just to kind of get this set up, and again, I think in the background of this is also the Nate Hobbs play from the day before and the Nate Hobbs play from last week where he collided with Dontavian Wicks on the play. Earlier, I should say about midway through practice, he got pretty fired up and, you know, reminded his team that if anybody throws a punch, they're immediately kicked out of practice, and just made sure that everyone was on the same page. You could start seeing maybe a little bit of chippiness or some things maybe starting to escalate a little bit. And then it was about right near the end of practice. It's a move the ball period, which is basically just like you get the ball first down on your own whatever yard line and you're just trying to go down and get a touchdown. It's pretty simple, right? And if you have to, you know, if you get to fourth down on your own side of the field, you have to, you know, you're done or whatever, and you would have to punt. That's the whole situation here. Well, the offense, the number ones on offense, get all the way down. Like, they're driving down the field. It's a really impressive drive for the offense. They just had a completion to Romeo Doubs to get probably inside the 10 or 15 yard line, and they're ready to kind of punch it in red zone. And you have this situation, the skirmish with Kingsley Igbari and Rashid Walker. It looked like they were connected and just kind of going after each other. And Igbari disengaged. Rashid Walker did not. And then Rashid Walker kind of pulled him down, threw him to the ground. And this is what got Matt LaFleur extremely fired up. If you are not aware, or if it has not been clear by now, you cannot you know, have these things where you're bringing players to ground or playing, you know, through the whistle or after the whistle or things like that. Once the play is done, it's done, and you cannot be throwing people to the ground. Now, in the live tackling periods, you're allowed to tackle, right? There are certain, again, things that you can do there. This was not a live tackle period with the ones, in this case, again, Rashid Walker and the ones on offense being out there, and you cannot take and throw a player to the ground. So that's what got Matt LaFleur so incredibly fired up after this play. It sounds like Enagbare was a little bit banged up, had to talk to a trainer after the play. What happens is Matt takes the entire number one offense. It says you're done. Basically says you're off the field, and then they move to the number threes after that. They didn't get to finish their drive, and he tells Rashid Walker that he's got to run a lap. And you could tell, like, people were pretty stunned. At least this was the word kind of in the locker room after the fact, that people were pretty stunned. Most of them had not run laps since high school, not even in college had this happen. Well, Rashid apparently did not want to do it, and it was his teammates that kind of had his back. Zach Tom, Sean Ryan, Jordan Morgan, Elton Jenkins, Josh Jacobs, and Tucker Kraft all decided to run with him. Said, we're going. We're going to go as a unit. And those players decided to run with Rashid Walker. They make their lap around. Now they all come back. Rashid took another lap with, I don't know if it was a trainer or whoever it was, but somebody else within the organization. I don't know if that was just Rashid cooling down or what that ended up being, or if Matt asked him to take another one, but that definitely escalated very quickly. I love the fact, again, that the teammates had his back. Again, Tom, Ryan, Morgan, Jenkins, Jacobs, and Kraft. Afterwards, in the locker room, Walker said he'd probably meet with Enagbare in the team cafeteria during lunch to patch up any hurt feelings. And, this is one of those things with the intensity of practice that can bubble up. After practice, Matt LaFleur lit into his team, was clearly very frustrated. There was a variety of different things. I think, again, whatever happened in midway that he had to remind of, like, hey, no throwing punches or whatever. Then at the end of practice and the whole Rashid Walker situation, I also thought we saw some sloppiness, more fumbled snaps and exchanges. You could tell there were a couple moments where LaFleur was not happy with either the tempo or just the execution of practice. So this is going to happen, right? This, you know, you just have a couple practices like this throughout the course of training camp where it just doesn't go exactly the way that, you know, coach wants it to, and he has to reset the standard. I thought he did that, set the tone again after practice. Probably a good day on Wednesday to have that off day and then sort of recalibrate on Thursday. Friday, another practice, and then Saturday, family night. Feels like that's probably a good cadence for the rest of this week after, again, what has been a pretty intense last couple days. But overall, thought, again, Matt handled this well. I'm sure we'll probably see a little bit buttoned up Thursday practice would be my guess. Also, just a rough practice for Rashid Walker. Not only did he have that entire situation, had a false start early in practice that got him kicked out. And so, yeah, it was definitely an interesting sort of end to practice. Somebody in the live chat kind of asked me of, like, hey, has this been more of a chippy or, you know, maybe dirty or anything like that sort of couple days of practice, or have we seen a little bit of a difference? And my answer would be probably not. There's been no fights, like no really big skirmishes where guys are going at each other, things like that. This was really the first one with Walker and Enagbare where we saw any sort of real kind of escalation on anything. And that was it. The rest of it's been good, intense physical football, but like 98% of it has been in a really good way outside of this kind of play from Rashid and then the play from Nate Hobbs the other day, you know, kind of going low a little bit on Marshawn Lloyd. Those have been the two outliers. They've got a lot of oxygen and attention, but I feel like the entirety of the rest of the practices for the most part have been handled very well and include that intensity and physicality without having to be raising to a level that's unsafe or dirty or anything like that whatsoever. So no, I think it's been really good practice for the most part, but again, Matt LaFleur would be the one with the best pulse on it. And he clearly was not happy, whether it was rules of engagement, the chippiness, taking care of teammates, or just maybe some of the sloppiness or probably some of all of the above. He was not happy at the end of Tuesday's practice. From an injury standpoint, we did have a couple new injuries. Aaron Banks was not on the initial injury list for the day. And then he went out there to practice, apparently. I mean, we got to walkthroughs right away, and he did not do walkthroughs with that. Like, I don't think he was out there more than like a minute or two. Kudos to Aaron Nagler and a couple others for actually noticing. I think Schneidman as well noticed him actually out at practice. I did not see him initially. And then again, you get to that walkthrough and he's not out there. It sounds like the back it sort of either flared up or had a little bit of an issue again. And so that's going to have to be monitored. That's not what you want to hear for your big free agent signing on the offensive line in Aaron Banks, that, you know, he had a back injury. They felt he got through it and then it flared up again. If that is in fact the case, that would certainly not be ideal. So it could be a situation where maybe they need to sit him down a little bit longer. Maybe he was trying to fight through it. I'm not sure exactly what the situation was there, but hopefully nothing serious with that back for Aaron Banks. Meanwhile, Savion Williams dropped out of practice at one point. Nobody knows, at least as far as I could tell from the different post-practice articles and tweets and everything like that. I could not glean anything about that injury, and it doesn't seem like anyone has a good tell yet on exactly what that is, but hopefully we find out a little bit more on Thursday, and hopefully it's much ado about nothing for Savion Williams, who was starting to get more opportunities with the ones and start making a little bit more of a name for himself. He's already had that concussion issue already, so hopefully we don't see things start to pile on here for Savion Williams. The good news, Elgton Jenkins was already practicing in team. Now, he didn't do all of team. They limited him to a smaller amount of snaps and team activities. But the fact that he was already out there on day two of him practicing, doing real teamwork, that was a great sign for him moving forward. We did find out that Dontavian Wicks was a calf injury. He did not practice. Marshawn Lloyd is a groin injury. He did not practice. Couple notes on the Marshawn Lloyd injury. For all the stuff about Nate Hobbs from yesterday, it sounds like, per Goody, and then kind of followed up by Matt, that the injury to Lloyd happened right before the contact got made by Nate Hobbs. It was actually a non-contact injury when he went to plant, and then it just so happened that Hobbs hit him afterwards, but the injury was not related to the tackle hit, whatever you want to call it, from Nate Hobbs. It was actually a non-contact injury. As mentioned, that was a groin injury. Good news here, Josh Jacobs was asked about Marshawn Lloyd in the scrum afterwards and said, quote, "He's going to be all right, man. He's not about to miss much time. I don't really know the extent of his injury, but I know it's not nothing major, so he's going to be all right." So that is great news from Josh Jacobs, and hopefully this is nothing major for Marshawn Lloyd and he can get back out there sooner rather than later. Your remaining injuries, Colin Oliver, John Williams, and Christian Watson. Quay Walker continues to ramp up and do more and more, not just walkthroughs, but individual drills. And it would seem that he's probably going to be ready for some team activities soon, but we'll have to kind of keep an eye on that. There was some word that maybe Brenton Cox was injured in Monday's practice, but he was out there right away on Tuesday. I remember seeing him out there at the end of Monday's practice as well. So if there was any sort of injury, it seemingly was much ado about nothing as he was back out there, good to go on Tuesday. And then not injury related, but the new kicker, McNamee, was still not out there, still working through some sort of visa issue to get to Green Bay and actually become the second kicker for the Packers. So a little bit of a bummer there. I'm sure they would have liked him in camp to have that second kicker so far, and it just hasn't worked out that way. So they're operating with 90 guys instead of 91. We'll be right back. Your starters in walkthrough along the offensive line were Rashid Walker, Jordan Morgan, Elgton Jenkins, Sean Ryan, and Zach Tom. And then that actually carried over into the team activities as well. Didn't think it was going to be that way because of Elgton Jenkins, but it actually was. So again, Walker, Morgan, Jenkins, Ryan, and Tom. Tucker Kraft at tight end. Dobbs, Reed, and Golden at wide receiver. Josh Jacobs at running back. And of course, Jordan Love at quarterback. Your defensive line was LVN, Wyatt, Clark, and Gary again, with McDuffie and Cooper at linebacker, Nixon and Hobbs outside, Bullard in the slot, and Williams and McKinney at safety. Your player of the day, Matthew Golden. He had the play of the day as well. We can just talk about the play of the day. Let's take a quick aside. There were two plays of the day, Matthew Golden's, which we're going to talk about momentarily. Then it did look like Kalen King on the opposite end. So you have the version where there's two practices basically going on at once, the primary and then the secondary group. From what I could tell, Kalen King picked off a pass. I couldn't tell if it was Malik Willis or if it was Sean Clifford, but picked off a pass, took it to the house for a pick six. So really big play from Kalen King. But outside of that one, this was the Matthew Golden show. And Matthew Golden was already having a really nice practice. He had a bootleg where he came open down the field and had a pretty explosive play down the right sideline, had a really nice pickup on a crossing route, had the play of the day in one-on-ones against Carrington Valentine from a one-on-one standpoint. That was probably like a 40, 50-yard touchdown down the field, which we'll talk about. And then it's really funny because Marcus Eversole and I were standing together, and you know, Marcus comes up to me, he's like, if Matthew Golden would have one more play, or he's like, we're one play away from Matthew Golden being the player of the day. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it would be really nice would be if we saw him get an explosive down the field. Cause I'm like, we've seen some of these intermediate plays that he's able to turn into bigger plays because of his speed and things like that. But we haven't seen him connect on anything down the field in OTAs, mini camp or training camps yet. And I'd swear to you within, I would say probably 6 seconds of us finishing that conversation, and we, of course, both look at Matthew Golden right after the play. He beats Nate Hobbs on a corner route, and Jordan Love finds him beautifully. You can find the play over on the Packers Twitter account if you want to go see the play itself. But hits Matthew Golden deep down the field. Golden ran a great route, separated from Hobbs. He's wide open, gets the pass, takes it the rest of the way. Some people said like 53, 54, 60. I thought it was around 60, but whatever it was a 50-plus yard play. The biggest play for the offense so far in training camp, and it was right on cue, right on command. Beautiful play by Matthew Golden. He later in the practice also drew a pass interference penalty on Nate Hobbs. So you had that that deep bootleg, you had the crosser, you had the 50-yard play, the Golden Valentine, or the play versus Valentine in one-on-ones, a pass interference drawn on Nate Hobbs. That's a heck of a practice for a rookie wide receiver. Like, I don't know, first rounder, eighth rounder, which is of course fake, but you get my point. Doesn't matter. If you're making that type of impact on any day in practice, or even like rookie or 8-year vet, right? That's another, like, it doesn't matter. That's a big day for a wide receiver. Matthew Golden certainly deserving of play of the day and player of the day. He was that good in this individual practice. And I tweeted out even before the long gain of like, he's just getting better. He's just getting better in every single practice. We saw that again today. He continues to make more and more plays. And I just don't think this is going to slow down. I really don't. I think you're going to see him get more comfortable, be more familiar with the offense, and that talent that he just has, that's scarily evident, eerily evident, is that he is going to just be a fantastic wide receiver. And the only thing that's even holding him back a little bit, and it's barely even holding him back right now, is just the nuances of the offense and making sure that he's got the attention to detail stuff down. And that's certainly going to come with time. And just imagine if he's doing this now when he doesn't even understand everything, imagine what that's going to look like when he does. It's a great start to camp. And this was certainly his best day as a Green Bay Packer so far. Big day for Matthew Golden. Other players of note, Xavier McKinney. Just can't throw near this guy. Big interception on Jordan Love. He read the play perfectly. I think Jordan saw him. I think Jordan saw him. Felt like he could still fit the ball in. And McKinney just comes up with the interception anyway. McKinney was perfect on the play. Took a beautiful angle. You know, got to the ball at the highest point and then tipped it up and then was able to control sort of a bobbling interception, maintained control to the ground. Just, he's on another level right now. I don't think Jordan had any like real thought that McKinney was able, you're going to be able to get to that ball. Oh, he did. He's you know, a black hole back there. And he's just going to suction anything up that comes your way. There's just a gravitational pull that Xavier McKinney has to him. And the ball is just going to attract to him and he's going to go find a way to get it. He's just a special player. He really, really is. He's so fun to watch. If you thought last year was good, I mean, he has the ability to even be better and take it a step further. So really gorgeous play from Xavier McKinney. We talked about this player yesterday and we talked about him stacking success and he's doing it again. This was a huge day from Nasir Stackhouse. If Matthew Golden, you know, maybe makes a couple plays less, I would probably be talking about Nasir Stackhouse as player of the day. Had a sack on one play where he got through the line pretty quick, a very quick pressure right through the middle of the offensive line, had a tackle for loss, and then at the end of practice, it's a 3rd-and-1 and a 4th-and-1 with live tackling. It's like 2s and 3s that are all on the field together, and Nasir Stackhouse is in there along with Warren Brinson, stuffing the middle of that offensive line and stuffing the middle of the line of scrimmage and making it that they can't pick up that 1 yard with Israel Abanaconda. Like, he was unbelievable. Undrafted free agent, sack, tackle for loss, pressure, you know, was really a key player in those back-to-back stuffs on third and fourth down. That's five big-time plays that he's involved with as an undrafted free agent. I mean, this is almost to the point, and this might sound over-aggressive. I don't know how you cut that guy. How are you going to cut a guy that's already showing up that much on day six as a UDFA that probably, again, is still learning the nuances of the game? That's enough upside already that I'm just not letting go of that guy. And we'll see. There's a lot of time left. It could just get, you know, there could be a peak early and then it just declines from here. Who knows? These things are weird sometimes. But man, if I'm GM, I already have seen enough. I already have seen enough upside to know that, like, hey, he's not a finished product, but I'm not letting go of that guy. I'm not letting somebody else pick him up or claim him. I'm not going to try to get him back on the practice squad. Now that guy's on the team. So we'll see if Goody agrees. As time goes on, sometimes these things can take care of themselves naturally. And if you end up with an injury at defensive tackle, you know, you maybe keep him easily no matter what. But I don't think I'm letting that guy go. That's how impressive he has been so far. And again, I'm not there. There's two ways that I want to look at this really quick with Nasir Stackhouse. I am not jumping to the conclusion that Nasir Stackhouse is a great player or that he can make an impact this year or that he is, you know, going to be as good as TJ Slayton was this past year, anything like that. I'm not anywhere near that at this point. My point here is that I've already seen enough to pique my interest that I'm going to let this play out for at least the next year to see how he does the rest of the year, because the upside is there. And I'm just taking a flyer on that, if nothing else. And he's already shown he can make plays. Now, granted, against a lot of twos and threes, let's see if he can, you know, kind of hang in there against the ones maybe at some point. But what I'll say is there's been enough substance there already through 6 days of practice from Nasir Stackhouse that, again, if I'm the GM, I'm not cutting that guy. So impact down the road, who knows? What type of player he is in the NFL, who knows? Good enough already for me to make the roster? Yeah, I'm probably already there with Nasir Stackhouse. Another player that continues to step up is Tyron Hopper. He had a really great day as well. He had a play late where they were doing, again, live tackling. They're running a wide receiver screen to the outside. Tyron Hopper ranges from linebacker, gets through all the blockers, shoots into the backfield by the wide receiver, and helps break up that play. I mean, that was a big time wow where just his speed and intensity showed up in a pretty major way. He had a tackle for loss. He had a pressure on Jordan Love that led to an interception, was this close to a PBU down with the twos. Like, he's flying around. And what that equates to, what, you know, sort of role he can carve out for himself, if any, I don't know yet. But has he taken a jump from year one to year two? Yes. And are you starting to see a little bit more proof of concept of what he can be and why they spent a third rounder on him this past year or in 2024? Yeah, I think you really, really can. And so that's a really good sign for him. That linebacker room is really, really fun. I think they probably trust Quay, Cooper, McDuffie, Simmons, and maybe even Hopper at this point. And we're going to talk a little bit about Christian Welch later as well. This is becoming a pretty strong linebacker room, and Tyron Hopper is starting to come into his own in year two. Let's just stick there. Edrin Cooper, another classic Edrin Cooper play, shooting through the line, getting into the backfield, having an opportunity at a tackle for loss, and then later comes off the edge and, you know, quarterback doesn't notice him. I can't remember if it was Love or if it was somebody else, probably Love since he's in there, which usually it's ones on ones, and comes off the edge untouched for a potential sack on that particular play as well. So a couple big plays from Edrin Cooper. Thought Nate Hobbs had a tough day. Not sure if the previous day's events was, you know, weighing on him in any way, but he was involved in that 60-yard completion to Matthew Golden, was the primary guy in coverage. In one particular play, he went to battle, you know, sort of Romeo Dobbs at the line of scrimmage. Dobbs out-physicaled him. Nate Hobbs ends up on the ground, and Dobbs is wide open. Love finds him, and it's a big gain down the field. And then he also had a pass interference on Matthew Golden in practice as well. So not a great day from Nate Hobbs. He's been fantastic. Again, we can put that play with Marshawn Lloyd aside, but He's been fantastic up until this point, but a little bit of a tougher practice for Nate Hobbs on this particular day. Same thing for Malik Willis. This is like the first time we've seen any real, you know, errors or anything from Malik Willis. Basically, since he's become a Packer, he had Malik Heath open for a big gain and just simply missed him. He had an interception to Omar Brown. There's a chance Enigbare would have probably had a sack on that play, but they let the play continue. Omar Brown jumped it perfectly, picked off the pass. Second interception for Omar Brown. This safety group is insane. Like, Omar Brown looks good. He is a 53-man rosterable player, in my opinion. I don't think they're going to be able to keep him, but some team should have him on their 53. Like, he is already, to me, that good. And, I mean, you have Xavier McKinney, Javon Bullard, Evan Williams, Kitano Ladapo, Zane Anderson, Omar Brown. That's an embarrassment of riches at safety. But he came up with a big play. Again, that was on Malik Willis. Tyron Herring, he made a great play. Like, this could have been play of the day on other days. It's a 50-50 contested ball, and Herring goes up, high points it, wrestles it away, comes down with an interception on Malik Willis. And again, I don't know if Kalen King was the pick on Malik Willis. If it was, that would have been potentially his third interception for the day. Either way, he at least threw two to Omar Brown and Tyron Herring, missed a big throw down the field, and we just didn't see that same level of consistency and accuracy and just decision-making from Malik Willis that we've come accustomed to so far with his tenure in Green Bay. We'll be right back. Jordan Love, per Bill Huber, was 11 of 14 on the day. One touchdown, one interception. We talked about the interception to McKinney. We talked about the touchdown to Matthew Golden. But 11 of 14 on the day, pretty efficient overall. And one of those incompletions, I might add, was a gorgeously thrown ball to Mecole Hardman. But Hardman was there. Romeo Doubs was in the same spot. So there was something that went wrong. I'm assuming it was with Doubs since he threw to Hardman, but two receivers in the same spot, which led to two defensive backs in the same spot. And there was just a lot of chaos. And I think in a game, Mecole Hardman probably like lays out for that or goes aggressively at it with four guys there and just a lot of chaos. I think he probably just, he like almost like kind of let up on the play. I'm not sure if he was expecting Doubs to go for it, but it was just kind of an awkward play. But Love put that right where it needed to be for Mecole Hardman. I think in a game, it's probably a reception, but there was certainly some chaos on that play with four players, two defenders, two wide receivers, both, or I should say all in the same vicinity, but 11 to 14, one touchdown, one interception again, per Bill Huber for Jordan Love on the day. We talked about Kalen King had a pick six, also had a sack on another play coming off a slot blitz from that nickel position. So he had a really nice day. Then there were some other miscellaneous plays, a lot of fumbled exchange or like just missed exchanges. Jennings and Willis had one. There was one with Sean Clifford where he couldn't get it. I believe Sean Ryan might have been involved in one as well. Just too many sloppy exchanges that are leading to potential turnovers. And a couple, the defense just picked up the ball cleanly. So, yeah, that's got to get cleaned up. Brenton Cox. I've enjoyed what I've seen from Brenton Cox, but man, he had two plays that he's probably going to want to have back. I don't even know that these are bad plays from Brenton Cox as they are great plays for the two players that I'm about to talk about. On one play action play, the one that I believe went to Matthew Golden for a big pickup, the way that that was set up was it's a play action fake, and Tucker Kraft ends up with Brenton Cox one-on-one, and Tucker Kraft battled that dude. He did a phenomenal job of keeping Brenton Cox at bay and allowing Jordan Love the time that he needed to complete that ball down the field to Matthew Golden. That was a big time, just one-on-one block. No help, no chip, no anything. Just a defensive end versus a tight end. And Tucker Kraft did his job to get Jordan Love the time that he needed. And then a absolutely explosive collision between Brenton Cox coming untouched and Chris Brooks having to pick him up. A real pop of the pads. Man, Chris Brooks, I can't even explain. Like, Brenton Cox came with some violence on that play in a good way. Again, physical football. And Chris Brooks just met it and stopped him in his tracks and gave the quarterback enough time to get the ball off. It was a really impressive play by Chris Brooks. And again, not bad by Brenton Cox, just better from Chris Brooks. I was really impressed with both Tucker Kraft and Chris Brooks making it so that Cox could not get to the quarterback on those two particular plays. Aaron Mosby had a sack of Taylor Algirsma. Now, Algirsma definitely felt like he held the ball way too long on that particular play, but still a nice job by Mosby getting to the quarterback. Colby Wooden had a sack on Jordan Love. LVN was 2-0 against Jordan Morgan in the one-on-one drills for offensive linemen versus defensive linemen. I will say once again, I did not see a ton from LVN, but there were multiple, reports out there that LVN had another really good day of practice. So try to do a little bit better job personally of keeping an eye on LVN, but by all other accounts, it certainly seems like LVN is off to a great start in practice. It's just sometimes, again, that stuff is just happenstantial where you see certain plays and sometimes you just miss certain stuff. Again, there's 80 guys out there, even just on an 11-on-11, there's 22 guys out there that you're trying to keep an eye on and kind of see what's happening. So you're just going to miss some stuff from time to time, which is why I really appreciate Pete Doherty, Bill Huber, Matt Schneidman, Paul Brettel, you know, all those guys, you know, being out there and going to, you know, see their incredible articles that they put out after each practice and just kind of refreshing my mind on some of the stuff that happened and picking up on some of the stuff that I certainly missed because, again, just I don't care who you are, you're not going to be able to pick everything up that's going on out there. The late run stuffs I mentioned with Warren Brinson and Nasir Stackhouse, that was big time stuff. And then here was your list of one-on-ones. I'm going to try to go through this as lightning round as possible. These were wide receivers and tight ends versus safeties and corners in one-on-ones. You had a great jam in coverage by Carrington Valentine on Matthew Golden, but maybe too good. There was a flag down on the play. Luke Musgrave absolutely toasted Javon Bullard. Jaden Reed with a sweet move and an easy win versus Kalen King. Lockdown coverage on Keyshawn Nixon on Romeo Doubs on a fade. Cornelius Johnson dropped an absolute dime after a gorgeous route on Micah Robinson. Gregory Jr. shut down a route by Mecole Hardman. Tucker Kraft got open beautifully on Xavier McKinney, but dropped an easy one deep. Malik Heath complete versus Nate Hobbs short. Shepard beat Kamal Haddon. Musgrave beat Javon Bullard again. Short to Fitzpatrick complete, but was contested by Ketan Oladapo. Sam Brown's play was overthrown. Romeo Doubs complete on a slant versus Keyshawn Nixon. Zane Anderson with a pass breakup versus Messiah Swinson. A nice in route by Ben Sims versus Evan Williams, but Ben Sims could not hold on. Golden, the deep bomb that we talked about, contested play by Carrington Valentine, but Golden went up, skied to get it, came down with it, and then took it in the end zone the rest of the way, probably 50-plus yard play on that one. Heath with a contested catch versus Kamal Haddon. Tucker Kraft won inside on a slant versus McKinney, and he definitely caught that one. Nate Hobbs, good coverage on Hardman, but incomplete. May have got away a little bit with a grab on that one for Nate Hobbs. Sam Brown couldn't find the ball with Bo Melton in coverage. Musgrave had a good step on Bullard, but was overthrown deep. Dunn, step for step with Shepard, incomplete, but needed to get his head turned. Probably could have done a little bit better job there, but still was an incomplete play. Valentine, fantastic coverage on Golden, but Golden caught it short anyway. Golden did a great job of battling back at the end, and even though I don't think got to where he wanted to because of some great coverage by Carrington Valentine, still came up with a short catch on the play. Oladapo with good coverage on Fitzpatrick. May have been a little bit of a drop on the play as well. Incomplete to Romeo Doubs was not a great throw. Swinson beat Baldwin, and then McKinney had a pass breakup versus Tucker Kraft. So those were your one-on-ones in the passing portion of those. The offensive line and defensive line were taking place on another area of the field. Miscellaneous notes: Matthew Goldman, Mecole Hardman, Keyshawn Nixon, Savion Williams, Amar Johnson, Israel Abanaconda were the players that were getting kick returns. Mecole Hardman had a muffed punt. Your special teams aces, this was, I believe, per Bill Huber. These were players that played three special teams units or more. That was Christian Welch, Isaiah Simmons, Tyron Hopper, Zane Anderson, Carrington Valentine, Javon Bullard, and Chris Brooks. Those were all players that were on at least three special teams units. Tucker Kraft did not seem super pleased with Matt LaFleur kind of throwing him under the bus for his fumble. Kraft's point was that in a game, he would have been able to stiff arm Evan Williams so that Williams could not poke the ball out. But you're not allowed to stiff arm at practice. So Evan Williams was able to get there and poke the ball out. I'm sure Matt LaFleur would say, I don't care. You still need to hold on to that ball. But it definitely had a feeling of Tucker Kraft was not super happy with Matt LaFleur maybe calling him out to the media earlier in the day for his fumbles. He has had two fumbles, by the way. Baron Sorrell will absolutely, quote, absolutely reach his ceiling per Matt LaFleur. spoke to his character, intangibles, work ethic, and what he's done on the field so far. And again, that's pretty high praise from Matt LaFleur, saying he will absolutely reach his ceiling as a player. So keep an eye out for Baron Sorrell. Packers did work out former University of Houston linebacker Michael Batton, or Batten, one of the two. So we'll see if they end up signing him. They did not as of yet, at least per any reports, but they did work him out on Tuesday. Also, Matt LaFleur said this has been the best Packers defense going after the ball in his seven seasons in Green Bay. So again, high praise from LaFleur there. And then last but not least, we got the Zach Tom contract in its totality. This is what it'll look like year over year. $7.4 million this year, $12.1 million next year, $18 million basically in 2027, $24 million in 2028, $30 million in 2029. This to me should have been a $25 million per year deal over the 8 years, 26, 27, 28, 29. They've met 7, 12, 18, 24. The next 4 years, you're paying them well under 24 mil per year. And then that last year, you have 1 year in 2029, which, by the way, a contract for a superb starting tackle at that point is probably in like the 50 millions. It's at 30, just 5 million above 25 in the final year. And by the way, you can get out of that final year and save $24 million by releasing him in the final year of that deal. So you basically have 7 mil, 12 mil, 18 mil, 24 mil, and then a team option in the final year for $24 million. So great, 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 unbelievable contract for Green Bay with Zach Tom. That is going to do it for me today. Reminder, we have no practice on Wednesday. So we will not have any, live post practice or anything like that. We'll be doing happy hour at 4 p.m. on Wednesday. So make sure you check out that live show, open to everyone, get your questions in, and I'll try to get to as many as I can. Again, Wednesday, happy hour today, 4 p.m. Should be fun. Hope to see you guys there. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donnelly, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carla Delgado, Willie Winkelstinkel, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Matt Geiger, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, and Griffin Blee. Again, make sure to subscribe if you are on YouTube. Check out that episode on our audio channels with Matt Schneidman, Dusty Evely, Sarah Kelleher, and Steve Perhatch. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.